Blog Talk Radio.
With basketball and hockey season officially over in New York, we turn our attention solely to baseball. The New York Mets have been struggling, but did win a 20-inning marathon last night and evening and afternoon, and the New York Yankees continue to roll. We'll break it all down coming your way next. This is Sports 7 with Mark and Evan. Gentlemen, and welcome into an edition of Sports Channel with Mark and Evan. I am Mark Elliott.
And I am Evan Brandoff. And Mark, it's quite depressing that the NBA playoffs and the NHL playoffs are both going on, and we have zero teams in it, zero out of three. So it's kind of depressing. Not even the Mets could make it from New Jersey, the future New York team, which was no surprise. But at least we got baseball, and we have a good team in baseball.
Well, we do have the Sabres, but they don't really count. But anyway, we turn our attention to baseball, and I think we have to start with the New York Mets. And, well, first of all, unfortunately for the New York Mets, they are not a very good baseball team. But what we saw from yesterday's game, which went 20 innings, was a few things about this New York Mets thing. I think we learned a couple of things about the New York Mets. And one is that they actually do or have the potential to have pitching, as the New York Mets yesterday, I mean, Johan Santana got the start, and he did very well, going seven shutout innings and striking out nine. So great start for Johan Santana, which was good, bouncing back after his prior start, which was not very good. So Santana pitched very well, and the bullpen pitched very well. But, Evan, we've spoken about it before where we're not sure about the Mets, certainly their starting rotation, but their offense is something that really needs to come through. And it took them 20 innings yesterday just to score two runs. So we saw yesterday that their bullpen can be very effective, but their offense is still very sluggish.
Yeah. Pretty pathetic, Mark, if you ask me. Then again, they won the game, and not like Albert Pujols was doing much better on the other side. So, you know, some games are just pitcher's duels. But, Mark, I didn't watch the game. I was a little bit busy. But who are those guys that came in when it was the 15th inning or whatever? I heard that the Mets had some sort of fielding player pitching for a while.
The Mets actually looked intelligent because the Mets actually had pitchers come in. What happened was, first of all, just with the Mets, The Mets were actually no hit through the first five innings. It took the Mets five-plus innings to get a hit. Their first hit didn't come till the sixth. But with the Cardinals, what happened was is they ended up having to put Kyle Loesch out in left field. Kyle Loesch, of course, a starting pitcher for the Cardinals. And Joe Mather, their left fielder, came in to pitch the final two innings, the 19th and the 20th. And Joe Mather ended up getting the loss, but prior to Joe Mather pitching, they had Felipe Lopez, their second baseman, come in to pitch. So they had a lot of position players come in, and they were pinch-hitting pitchers even when the Cardinals were batting. They did have one bench player left on the bench eventually, which was backup catcher Brian Anderson, but they weren't using him for a while. You know, they brought in one of their relievers who ended up coming in, Hawksworth. They used Blake Hawksworth to come up and pinch hit, even though they still had Brian Anderson available. But eventually Anderson got into the game. But the Cardinals had outfielders. They had pitchers in the outfield. They had outfielders pitching. They had position players pitching. The Mets did not run into that issue, and they were able to save K-Rod for the 19th inning, the Mets took a 1-0 lead in the top half of the 19th on a sacrifice fly. K-Rod came in the bottom of the 19th, blew the save as the Cardinals retied the game up at 1. Game went into the 20th, where the Mets were able to get another sacrifice runner in, and then eventually it was Pelfrey, a Mets starter, who ended up coming in and getting his first career save. So just a really crazy, crazy game.
Wow. That's crazy. Whoa. So it was a 1 o'clock game and it ended at 10?
No. It was a 4 o'clock game and it ended at about 11:30-ish.
Wow.
It was a 6-hour and 53-minute game.
That was crazy.
And our guy, Kenny Albert, was on the call, and he was spending a very long time doing that broadcast. I don't know where Joe Buck was, because Joe Buck loves St. Louis, and Kenny Albert was with Tim McCarver, so I don't know where Joe Buck was, but it was a very, very crazy game. And, you know, it's funny, because, you know, obviously people have their own opinions on Tim McCarver, and I was joking with one of my friends that I was talking to. I said, you know, I feel bad for Kenny because he's spending all this time with Tim McCarver, and this was maybe like the 14th or 15th inning during a commercial break, and they come back from commercial, and Kenny goes, you know, Tim, I enjoy spending time with you, but I think this is starting to get a bit much. So I thought that was funny. It was really good timing. But it was a very long game, and I decided, you know, I was all over Twitter. Anyone who follows Sports Heaven on Twitter, twitter.com/sportsheaven. I was making some posts, and other people were making posts. I just want to give you some funny tweets that I wrote down during this game, because some people are creative on Twitter, believe it or not. I'll give you them in the order in which they occurred, and of course, as I mentioned to you before, the Cardinals had outfielders pitching. So one guy wrote, Jason Bay swung through an 80-mile-per-hour fastball from an outfielder. Yeah, he's worth $66 million. And another guy wrote, I'm emotionally preparing myself for the Mets losing this game in epic fashion. That was after the Mets took a 1-0 lead. Fortunately for that guy, the Mets did win. If the baseball gods are still awake, you have to assume they find a way for the Mets to lose this game. The Mets look smart, having a real pitcher available, which is true. Would it be wrong to say the Mets score in the top of the first inning of their third game of the night? That, of course, coming after the one run came in the 19th inning. So technically that is the start of a third game, I guess. You play 18 innings, that's two games. They scored one run in their third game. And then this one I really like. Games of this length is the reason why John Madden doesn't do baseball. I thought it was clever. Really sick of Tim McCarver right now. This was a good one. This I thought was really funny at the time. Obviously, we know in the beginning of the year, Joe West was making the comments about how it's an embarrassment that the Yankees and Red Sox play such long series. Somebody tweets here, imagine Joe West was umping this game. So I thought that would have been funny. I thought that was funny anyway. Let's see, what else? Tim McCarver mentioned that the Mets hold the record for the most runs scored in the 19th inning. The Mets, at some time, a long time ago, scored 5 runs in the 19th inning. So when the game went to the 20th, somebody questioned, who holds the record for most runs in the top of the 20th? And then, let's see, somebody else says, Joe Mather, who is the outfielder pitching for the Cardinals, Joe Mather could really make the Mets starting rotation, really. And then another guy, 19 innings of listening to McCarver. We all deserve a purple heart for bravery. So just some good quotes from Twitter last night.
That's funny. What kind of pitches was he? What's his name throwing?
He was just throwing just regular straight pitches. I mean, he didn't really have much. I mean, Joe Mather, of course, did give up 2 runs. I mean, he wasn't terrible. But he was the losing pitcher in the game, so it was really a crazy game. But again, I still want to give a lot of credit here to the Mets pitching, because the Mets bullpen was just absolutely fantastic in this game. Yoan was good, what you would expect. You would hope he could do well. Again, 7 shutout innings, 9 strikeouts. And then, I mean, they used a ton of guys in the bullpen. One guy who really stuck out was Takahashi, who went 2 innings and struck out 4. I mean, really, really good pitching, good bullpen from the New York Mets. I can tell you wouldn't see that from the New York Yankees bullpen. But great bullpen pitching by the New York Mets. And, of course, getting Nieve in there, and Mike Pelfrey ends up getting the save. Every single Mets player, other than the starting pitcher on Friday, was used. The Mets in this game used 24 out of the 25 players on the roster. So everybody was playing, and the Cardinals were doing something similar. I mean, if you look at any scorecards or at the box score, it's a very long list of a lot of players. And again,
how many at-bats did they all have?
A lot. The most at-bats, I think, was 9. Yadier Molina had 9 at-bats, and Yadier Molina was the one who got the game-tying RBI in the bottom half of the 19th. And, of course, we know Yadier Molina is a Met killer, so he sort of continued that, although the Mets did end up getting the victory. And what a common theme was Jeff Francoeur. Jeff Francoeur had a 9-game hitting streak or something going into yesterday's game. Jeff Francoeur had 7 at-bats to try and keep it going. Jeff Francoeur went 0-for-7, so he did not continue the hitting streak, but he did have a sac fly, so he did have an RBI in the game. But Jeff Francoeur did not keep his hitting streak going despite having 7 opportunities. But it was a very, very long game and quality pitching. And again, people forget after the fact that the game went 20 innings and the fact that the Mets won, we forget that the Mets, we were thinking early on in the game that the Mets might actually get no hit, which would have meant that there would have been 2 no-hitters thrown yesterday. But the Mets were no hit through 5 innings and did not get a hit until the 6th inning, and then, of course, did not get a run until the 19th inning. So overall, it was a positive day for the Mets pitching and a negative day for the Mets hitting. I mean, the Mets offense really needs to get themselves going because they didn't have any hits. I mean, in 20 innings, the Mets only had 9 hits.
I wonder if this is the longest game a game has ever gone without there being any runs.
They probably mentioned that stat at some point yesterday. I mean, you could tell as you got into the 15th and 16th inning, Kenny Albert and Tim McCarver really had nothing to say. And Evan, you asked me before the show why I was making statuses about 12-pound turkeys. And the reason for that was, I mean, this goes to show that they had nothing to say. Fox put a graphic up as the game approached 6 hours, and it said things you can do in 6 hours or less. And it was fly from Seattle to somewhere, cook one 12 to 14-pound turkey, and watch 6 episodes of 24. I mean, that was the graphic that Fox put up, letting you know all the other things you could have done in that same 6-hour time frame that you were watching this game. So,
but yet you chose to watch this game.
So that was why I was making statuses about 12-pound turkeys. And at one point on Twitter, I wrote, I just put my second 12-pound turkey in the oven because I thought maybe another 6 hours would happen, but it did not. But, yeah, that was a very crazy game, and it wasn't an overly dramatic game. I mean, it would have been more exciting if the game went 20 innings and the score was, 19-19, and there was just tons of scoring, and every time one team scored, the other team just tied it back up again, but that wasn't the case. It was just fantastic pitching, including one shutout inning by second baseman Felipe Lopez of the St. Louis Cardinals, so just excellent, excellent pitching all around. 16 total strikeouts for the Cardinals, 19 total strikeouts for the Mets.
Oh.
So, real marathon of a baseball game. And if anyone has any thoughts of their own on the game, you could call in 718-508-9443 or talk in our Blog Talk Radio chat if you have a Blog Talk Radio account. So that was
I was at a restaurant. I must have been around 11 or whatever it was. And I looked up the TV and I saw the Met game was on and it said the 20th inning. And I'm like, what?
It's funny. I was actually the guy who was sitting in Buffalo Wild Wings. I kept saying, send it into extra, send it into extra. And the guy just kept hitting that button and the game kept going.
Yeah, do you think Kenny understood that quote?
I don't know. I told it to. I don't know. He works in TV. I'm assuming he watches commercials, but what do I know?
No, he's resting during commercials.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I'll never know for sure. But a real marathon of a game. And of course, the Mets are playing again right now, and it's a good thing that they had a night game tonight rather than an afternoon game, because they'd all be dead, as, again, every single player on the Mets roster was used. So the Mets are back in action tonight. They should be getting underway momentarily as they are on ESPN. And hopefully that game, the game tonight, does not last 6 hours and 53 minutes, because that'll go into the early hours of the morning. But
what are you saying? Hopefully it does. That'd be awesome.
I guess it would be awesome, but if that happens, then you have all the critics coming out about how baseball's too slow. They should have a timer for this, a timer for that. You shouldn't be allowed to step out of the box. You know, yada, yada, yada. And the Mets are underway, by the way. It's the bottom half of the first. And guess what? No score and also no hits for the Mets in the top of the first. So.
Well, I think they're going to get no hit.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on that one. So, I mean, you still have to worry. I mean, as a Met fan, you're happy that your team was able to come out on top, especially on the road in a tough game. And then I don't know why fans would leave yesterday's game. The stadium was empty at the end of the game yesterday. I don't understand that at all. I mean, it's Saturday. I mean, maybe you have plans, but I mean, you paid to go to a baseball game. Why would you leave when it's tied? But maybe that's just me. But
it's boring, Mark. Is there a game? It's pretty boring.
I know, but I mean, why would you paid to watch a game? You might as well. I mean, you certainly got more than your money's worth, but still, I mean, you want to see the end result, I would think. But anyway, you credit the Mets for being able to come out on top, but still, you have to worry, I think, about their offense, because they have guys who you think can hit. I mean, Jeff Francoeur has started off the season really well for the Mets. Unfortunately, he couldn't get a hit yesterday, but Jason Bay didn't do anything. Jose Reyes didn't do anything. David Wright didn't do anything. I mean, these are guys who you're really relying on to get hits, and they didn't do it. So it's just, you know, it's up. I mean, David Wright struck out 3 times in the game. I mean, you have to be concerned about this Mets offense. You really do.
Yeah, you certainly do. I mean, it's a long season, but it's pretty pathetic. They gotta score some runs. So, I mean, you just look. They look horrible with runners in scoring position. They just, I don't know. I think they need some change. Maybe in the front, maybe in the coaching staff. I don't know what it is, but something's got to change, because, you know, if you have horrible pitching and a horrible lineup, it doesn't really bode well for a good team.
Absolutely. But again, as a Mets fan, if you're a Mets fan, you have to be happy with the way your bullpen performed. I mean, that's got to give you a lot of confidence. I mean, they had the ability to intentionally walk a couple of hitters. You know, they worked around Albert Pujols a couple of times because nobody wants to face him. And they were fortunate enough to catch Matt Holliday, who was just in a terrible, terrible slump to start off the season. So they had no problem pitching to Matt Holliday. But still, I give them a lot of credit. We'll send it to the update with Alan Moy, 8:20 p.m. in the East.
This update is brought to you by SportsHeavenRadio.com, the official site of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Log on to SportsHeavenRadio.com every Sunday night at 8 for the best sports radio show the internet can handle. The Yankees completed their first sweep of the season with a 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers at the stadium. Mark Teixeira hit his first home run of the season. Jorge Posada added his third of the season later on in the seventh inning. Andy Pettitte was outstanding in 8 innings. He gave up just 2 runs on 4 hits. Mariano Rivera picked up his 5th save of the season. Sunday night baseball out in St. Louis. The Mets will try to win their first series of the season as they take on the Cardinals in the rubber game of their 3-game set. John Manning takes the mound for the Mets, and Adam Wainwright is on the hill for the Cardinals. Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 3 in the Western Conference. The Coyotes beat the Red Wings to take a 2-1 lead in the series. In Game 3 in the Eastern Conference, the Devils and Flyers are tied at 2 in the third period. That series is tied up at a game apiece. And Pittsburgh leads Ottawa 2-1 at the end of 2 in Game 3 of that series, which is also tied at a game apiece. In about 10 minutes, the Blackhawks will look to tie up their series with the Predators in Game 2 of their series. And at 9:30, San Jose will take on Colorado in Game 3. That series is knotted up at 1. The NBA playoffs kick off today with the Lakers taking Game 1 of their series from Oklahoma City, 87-79. Orlando defeated Charlotte 98-89 for a 1-0 Magic lead in the series. Just underway in Dallas, the Mavericks host the Spurs, and later tonight, the Suns host the Trailblazers. Be sure to follow Sports Heaven on Twitter for more information about upcoming guests. Just log on to twitter.com/sportsheaven. We'll take a quick timeout. Mark and Evan will be back after these messages from the Long Island Exchange. I'm Alan Moy, and you're listening to Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan.
So you're looking for a great club, but you don't really want to go into Manhattan. Or maybe you have a date and you want to try a new restaurant. Or possibly you're looking to buy a house here on Long Island and you want to find out about a certain area. Wouldn't it be nice if you can find all this information in just one spot? Well, there is a spot. It's called LongIslandExchange.com. LongIslandExchange.com is all you need to find out all you want about Long Island. LongIslandExchange.com. Long Island Hotspots. Long Island Community Events. Long Island Classifieds. Long Island News. Long Island People. LongIslandExchange.com. It's designed with only the Long Islander in mind. And the best part, you decide what you want to know. Just post your message and let other Long Islanders help you out. It's that easy. So check out LongIslandExchange.com to meet new people, see new places. LongIslandExchange.com. Discover Long Island all over again with LongIslandExchange.com.
And welcome back into Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Mark Elliott with Evan Brandoff. Of course, we were talking about last night's New York Mets marathon, which went 20 innings. Right now, bottom half of the first, the Cardinals are threatening with a runner in scoring position, although the Cardinals did struggle with runners in scoring position yesterday and actually in extras had the bases loaded on 3 separate occasions and were unable to come through. Again, another good sign for the Mets bullpen, which was able to pitch into and out of trouble. Of course, pitching into trouble is not good, but being able to pitch out of it is very good. So, good stuff there from the New York Mets. And we do have a caller, 908 area code. You are on Sports 7 with Mark and Evan.
Hey, Mark. It's Ryan calling from State College. Pleasure to be on the line.
How you doing, Ryan?
I'm doing pretty well. I can't say that you're surprised to have me on, but I wanted to ask you about what you think the Mets' future is at the managerial position, because it's been a dreadful run. Last year was just abysmal. 2 years before that, they had absolutely atrocious finishes. In years that, honestly, you thought they were going to make the playoffs. So you think Terry Manuel and Omar Minaya, specifically Minaya, hang around, make it through the entire season, or is it time for them to go maybe midseason, maybe very soon?
Well, Jerry Manuel, for one, is certainly on the hot seat. If the Mets do not have a successful season, he'll be gone. I don't know if Jerry Manuel is in a position where he could potentially be fired mid-season. I think the Mets would have to be going really, really, really bad for that to happen. I'm talking, you know, like 30 games back at the All-Star break. But I would assume at least Manuel has the rest of the year, but maybe not. But he's certainly on the hot seat. As far as Omar Minaya, you know, they may like him. He's done some good things. Obviously, the Mets do have some good talent. They got Jason Bay to come in this year. You know, they have David Wright, Jose Reyes. I mean, Minaya's done some good things, but I don't know if he's on the hot seat as much as Jerry Manuel is, but it's very possible that he's on the hot seat too. And the Mets just made a play at the plate to end the inning. Beautiful throw in from right field for the New York Mets to avoid a run. So the scoring just does not happen in this series. But anyway, yeah, Jerry Manuel is definitely on the hot seat. I'm not entirely sure about Minaya. Evan, what do you think?
You know, I disagree with you. I think that he's in trouble mid-season. They both could be in trouble. You know, Minaya's probably safe for the season, but Jerry Manuel, ever since he took charge, it's been completely downhill. Every single year it gets worse and worse. And the fact that they do have so much skill and they can't produce runs, when you have Jose Reyes, David Wright, and a bunch of other very solid players in your lineup, and you can't score a run until the 20th inning, it doesn't bode well for your team, and you know it's pathetic. They definitely need a new training crew. The fact that there's been so many injuries the past few years, I think that everyone in that organization is in trouble and could potentially be gone by the end of this year.
Given the stadium construction, that the way it is in Citi Field, a huge ballpark, shouldn't the Mets be more geared towards a pitching dominant team? I mean, yeah, they have Johan Santana, but after that, it's pretty abysmal. I kind of think Minaya, if anything, should be faulted, considering this team is no way structured for the stadium that they play in.
Yeah, the one thing that Minaya is faulted for is certainly the pitching, because the start. I mean, this offseason, we knew the Mets needed to bring in some starters, and the Mets had the opportunity to bring some in and did not bring in any of the big free agents that were available. So Minaya certainly should be faulted for that. I definitely agree. What were you going to say, Evan?
Pretty much the same thing. They certainly do not have the proper team out there, because no matter who's in their lineup, it's still a pitcher's ballpark, as you said. And with the season going on, if Minaya wants his job to be safe, I think that the Mets are going to have to make some moves and get some better pitchers. But as we see, they do have a very solid bullpen after seeing last night. So that's certainly a positive in their pitching side. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they make a move and get another solid starter. I think they should have gotten John Lackey over the offseason or someone of his caliber. It's a 1-2 punch of Johan and Lackey or someone of his caliber. You know, even if your 3, 4, 5 pitchers aren't that good, that's still two games out of five that you're very likely to win. So,
okay. So guys, given the Yankees' starting pitching strength and the Mets solid bullpen, apparently, I think if you combine the two staffs, you might have a solid team in New York, but the Yankees can't close a game to save their lives, or at least bridge the gap. The Mets can't start a game to save their lives outside of Johan. I mean, what moves do the Yankees have to make you think they're sure of a bullpen?
I mean, you could say the Yankees have to make moves, but at the end of the day, they're still arguably the best team in the MLB. And honestly, I think they're fine. Their bullpen, although it isn't great, it's still better than 3/4 of the league. So the fact that that's their weakness just says how great the rest of the Yankees team is. Well, what do you think, Mark?
Well, what you have with the Yankees is the fact that, of course, their offense is fantastic. Now, if Joe Girardi didn't overmanage that much, you'd feel a lot more comfortable. But if, I mean, every single starter the Yankees have has the capability each time out to give you at least 6 or 7 solid innings. I mean, every single starter absolutely has that ability. There's no reason A.J. Burnett, C.C. Sabathia, Andy Pettitte, Javier Vasquez. I mean, we're not totally sure about Phil Hughes yet, but I mean, they have at least 4 starters that, I mean, we've seen time and time again with the ability to go six or seven shutout innings. Or not necessarily shutout innings, but six or seven strong innings. So as long as Joe Girardi does not overmanage, the Yankees should be fine. And, of course, their offense is off to a very good start, especially guys like Robinson Cano, 4 home runs and 10 RBIs on the season already.
What do you know?
So basically what you're saying is by the time the season wraps up and we hit playoff time, it's going to be a Subway Series in 2010.
absolutely not. Well, Ryan, thank you for the call, and I will speak to you shortly. And feel free to call in again anytime.
Unfortunately, we'll speak soon, I guess.
All right. So
have a good night.
That is Ryan of the State College area, at least temporarily. But I think we have exhausted the Mets
subject.
What's
that supposed to mean, Mark?
What's what supposed to mean?
At least temporarily. You kick him out?
Well, he is a New Jersey native, and, he is a junior. But this summer, he will be going back to New Jersey, and once he graduates, he will not. Well, I mean, maybe he'll work in State College, but whatever. This is a stupid conversation. But anyway, we have exhausted the topic of the New York Mets, so we'll move in to the New York Yankees. Of course, we'll keep you updated on the New York Mets status throughout the night. Top half of the second right now, no score. Mets have runners on first and second now. But the New York Yankees are off to a fantastic start. They've won every series they've played so far. They are 9-3 on the season. Javier Vasquez will get the start tomorrow. Javier Vasquez is off to a very bad start, 0-2 with a nearly 10 ERA. So hopefully for Yankee fans, Javier Vasquez can step up a little bit, as we saw how dominant he was just a year ago, of course, in the National League. So we'll see what he does as he continues with the Yankees in his second stint. But we know the starting pitching will be fine, and the offense has been good. Derek Jeter left Saturday's game early. He had a little bit of they're calling it a head cold. He sat out today's game. And by the way, Vasquez will be starting on Tuesday. The Yankees have an off day tomorrow. So Jeter's a little sick, but he should be fine. Jeter is starting off very well. He's got 3 home runs and 9 RBIs on the season. He actually had a home run on Saturday. He pulled the ball. He got a home run to left field. You don't see that very much from Derek Jeter. But a nice shot there by Jeter. Cano, I mentioned before when Ryan was with us, 4 home runs, 10 RBIs to start out the season. Your only concern right now as a Yankee fan is when they brought in, of course, they brought in Nick Johnson, who was off to a very slow start. But other than that, you have to be pretty happy. Even Ramiro Pena, who had to take the place of Jeter today, Pena had 2 RBIs today. So, I mean, even Cervelli, who's played in a couple of games, not because Posada's hurt, but just, as the backup catcher, Cervelli, who's a guy that I like a lot and I said to watch very closely, 3 RBIs in 2 games played already, 3 RBIs and 6 at-bats. So Cervelli's doing well. I mean, even guys off the bench are doing well. But again, the thing you have to worry about with the Yankees is their bullpen. And again, I mentioned this to you last week, Evan, there's not one person other than Mariano that Joe Girardi can bring in that I'm happy with. It doesn't matter what pitcher Joe Girardi picks to come in, I am disappointed with it. I mean, I don't like anybody.
Mark, yes or no, is our bullpen good enough to get us to the playoffs?
What'd you say?
Yes or no, true or false, is our bullpen good enough to get us to the playoffs?
The bullpen alone? No. The rest of the team, the bullpen is not going to be the reason the Yankees don't make the playoffs, I guess. I guess they're not bad enough where they'll blow enough games where it'll actually cause the demise of the Yankees. It wouldn't surprise me if that was the case, but the Yankees have too good of an offense where the bullpen would actually be a reason the Yankees do not make the playoffs. If the Yankees did not have the offense that they did, this is not a bullpen that you would want. I mean, any I mean, it is without doubt. I mean, you can't really argue it. The Yankees have the best offense in baseball. I mean, they absolutely do. I mean, you put this bullpen on any other team, it's, I mean, you're not going to get similar results. I mean, maybe with the Red Sox you could get similar results, but, I mean, just a middle-of-the-line team, this bullpen is would be the sole reason they don't make the playoffs. The Yankees are fortunate enough where even if the bullpen allows a lot of runs, their offense has the ability to get those runs right back. But generally speaking, it's a bad bullpen. I mean, they are not reliable at all. There's, I mean, not one pitcher is reliable.
Do you think that the Yankees lineup was, Mark, do you think that the Yankees lineup was that much better than the Phillies lineup?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily think it's a lot better. I think it's better. I mean, I think the Yankees have the best lineup in baseball. I mean,
I don't know.
The Phillies are very good. I mean, would I pick the Phillies maybe as second? Yeah. I mean, is it close? Yeah. But I would still say that the Yankees have the best lineup.
All right. I wouldn't disagree, but I don't think it's that like clear.
Well, I mean, it's close. I mean, I never said anything where the Yankees are much better. I'm just saying they're the best. I mean, obviously, you know, Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Shane Victorino. I mean, Rollins, if he's, you know, healthy. And I mean, they have a very, very solid lineup. But I still think Cano, Posada, Teixeira, A-Rod, Jeter, I think that beats it. And, of course, we saw that in the World Series. I mean, the Yankees won. I mean, if that has any indication, which I feel at least a little bit it does. So I think the Yankees certainly are better in that aspect.
Yeah. Yes.
I will tell you that the Yankees bullpen is terrible. And if it was not, I mean, if you remove the top five teams, the top five offensive teams in baseball, get rid of the top five, the other 25 teams in baseball, if that bullpen was a part of that team, the bullpen is the reason that team does not make the playoffs. I can tell you that right now. And I don't know what is happening in this Mets game right now. The ball is being thrown to home, to outfield, back to home, back into the outfield. I don't know what is going on with the Cardinals, but the Mets now have a 3-0 lead with a runner on third as three guys just scored. I have no idea what just happened. But yeah, that's my take on the Yankees. Sorry to go off topic there.
That's all right. Yeah, I guess you're right. It's a long season, Mark. Certainly a long season, and you know you can't really make any decisions yet. There's teams that you think are going to be great and end up being pretty horrible, and the first 12 games or whatever it's been of a season certainly can't really tell you much about how a team's going to be. But it's, once again, second year in a row that that Toronto's off to a great start. Toronto was winning the division for almost to the All-Star break last year. But then look what happened. They clearly fell off and started doing horribly. So, you know, beginning of the season, you can't really tell. And there's also teams like the Red Sox. Where are they now? 3-9?
The Red Sox are 4-8 now.
4-8, I'm sorry, 4-8, and I don't think that they're going to be 50-100 or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Baltimore finally picked themselves a second win today. Tampa Bay's doing well. Yeah, it's very early. I mean, things will change very quickly, I'm sure, except maybe for Baltimore. Baltimore will probably still be down there, although they shouldn't. They really shouldn't. I mean, the Baltimore has some great players. Toronto is actually already above expectations in my mind. Toronto and Baltimore, they should be switched in their positions. I mean, Baltimore, Matt Wieters and Adam Jones, Nick Markakis. I mean, who's Toronto have? It doesn't really make any sense. But, yeah, it's a very, very long season. 12 games is not indicative of 162 games. And, of course, as the season progresses, players get tired or injured and that will have a significant impact, without a doubt, as it does every single year It is 8:40 p.m. in the East. We go to an update with Alan Moy.
This update is brought to you by SportsHeavenRadio.com, the official site of Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan. Log on to SportsHeavenRadio.com every Sunday night at 8 for the best sports radio show the internet can handle. Sunday night baseball out in St. Louis, the Mets will try to win their first series of the season as they take on the Cardinals in the rubber game of the three-game set. Currently, Angel Pagan just cleared the bases with a 3-RBI double. The Mets now lead 3-0 in the top of the second. Earlier today at the stadium, the Yankees completed their first sweep of the season with a 5-2 win over the Texas Rangers. Mark Teixeira hit his first home run of the season in the fourth inning, and Jorge Posada added his third of the season in the seventh. Andy Pettitte was outstanding in eight innings. He gave up just 2 runs on 4 hits. Mariano Rivera got his 5th save of the season. Stanley Cup playoffs, Game 3 of the Western Conference. The Coyotes beat the Red Wings to take a 2-1 lead in the series, and in Pittsburgh currently leads Ottawa 3-1 in Game 3 of that series, which is tied at a game apiece. The Blackhawks and Predators are just underway from Chicago in Game 2 of their series. Blackhawks will look to avoid falling to a 2-0 deficit. They are currently scoreless in the first period. And at 9:30 later tonight, San Jose will take on Colorado in Game 3. That series is knotted up at 1. The NBA playoffs kicked off today, with the Lakers taking Game 1 of their series from Oklahoma City, 87-79. Orlando defeated Charlotte 98-89 for a 1-0 Magic lead in the series, just underway in Dallas. The Mavericks lead the Spurs 13-10 in the first quarter, and later tonight the Suns host the Trailblazers. The 2010 National Jewish Sports Hall of Fame induction ceremony was held this morning in Comac, and I was on hand for the event. Among those that were inducted, Virginia Tech men's basketball coach Seth Greenberg, a native of my hometown, Plainview, Summer Olympic swimmer Jason Lezak, Penn State's women volleyball coach Russ Rose, and former wrestling star Bill Goldberg, or simply known as Goldberg, were inducted. John Shire, the point guard of the 2010 national championship team Duke Blue Devils, won the Marty Glickman Outstanding Jewish Scholar Athlete of the Year Award. Be sure to follow Sports Heaven on Twitter for more information about upcoming guests. Just log on to twitter.com/sportsheaven. Back to you guys.
All right, Alan, thank you. And, of course, Russ Rose is without doubt the best inductee there, having won 102 straight matches. That is unprecedented. It is better. It is a better streak than the UConn women's basketball team everybody mentions. The UConn women's basketball team, but Penn State women's volleyball is better. Sorry, UConn. But anyway, Alan, you mentioned Teixeira hit his first home run. Forgot to mention that Alex Rodriguez the other day hit his first home run, surpassing Mark McGwire on the all-time home run list. You can interpret that as you will. And speaking of A-Rod, we have someone in the chat room who gave us a stat here. Since A-Rod's return on May 9th, 2009, the Yankees are 109-51. So there's a good stat for you. I have not checked it, but I'm assuming it is correct. But that is what someone in the chat room is telling me.
Crazy.
Crazy indeed. Alan, mm-hmm. We want to get your take on everything. First of all, did you see yesterday's Mets marathon?
I did see most of it. Oh, man, that was some game. The game was going on forever. Nearly 7 hours in 20 innings. The Cardinals stranded many base runners. They left the bases loaded, I think, 4 times in the extra innings. And the Mets were able to take advantage and win the game 2-1.
A very good game for them. I mean, of course, we were talking about it for the entire first half hour of the show. Do you think that the performance of the Mets bullpen yesterday can be indicative of their potential performance the rest of the season, Alan?
It can. I think if the bullpen can actually hold up like what they did yesterday, it'll give them a huge boost of confidence, especially for a guy like Mike Pelfrey, our usual starter, came in relief in the 20th inning and got a save, even though he made the game a little interesting, giving up a hit and a walk. But Getting a save, I think, will definitely help his confidence. And currently the starting pitching is starting to gel. Oliver Perez pitched, I think, 6 1/3 innings on Friday night before Valdez giving up the grand slam. So far the pitching has been rounding up. I think the Mets will look to have a better season than they did last year.
Well, it'll be something very interesting to see. Of course, they lead 3-0 now in the bottom half of the second.
And it'll be hard to be any worse than it was last year. That's for sure.
Unless if everybody gets hurt again, which probably won't happen this year.
Yeah. Once again, that's pretty difficult to happen again, too. But they were pretty pathetic last year, and maybe they'll be better this year, but not much better. I certainly don't think they'll be a playoff contender. Look at their division, even. It has the Phillies and the Braves in there. They're not better than either of those teams.
It's true. So. The Braves are really coming on this year. Jason Hayward is off to a really, really good start for the Atlanta Braves. So, of course, Braves fans are very excited about Jason Hayward. So we'll keep a close eye on that throughout the season, of course. But shifting back to the New York Yankees, and Alan will bring in your opinion here. Now, we were talking about the bullpen before, and, you know, Alan, Evan asked me if the bullpen would cause the Yankees to lose a lot of games. I said their offense is too good, but, I mean, overall, I would say this bullpen's pretty bad.
Well, it's still very early in the season. Remember last year, the bullpen started off very shaky until June. So it's still really early to tell. We're still barely 2 weeks into the season. So I don't really think it's that big of a deal just yet. But the guys like Jabba Chamberlain, Mariano Rivera are pitching very well out of the bullpen. So I think as long as you have the setup and the closer pitching very well, I think you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, that's a good point. And if the starters can, again, the Yankees have the starting rotation that could go 6 or 7 solid innings each time out. And as long as they could do that, and as long as Joe Girardi does not overmanage, which he will, though it's really stupid for me to say that, but assuming Joe Girardi doesn't overmanage, that'll be very good. That'll be very beneficial for the Yankees, without doubt.
Yeah. Just to bring up the Met game for a second, I just think it's crazy that Johan Santana pitched 7 innings and it was only 1/3 of the game.
Yeah, I mean it was crazy. The first 9 innings of the game are just it doesn't even matter what happened. And again, it's completely forgotten that the Mets were no hit through the first 5 innings. The Mets did not get a hit till the 6th inning. And that's completely forgotten because the game went 20 innings and the Mets ended up winning. Everything you saw in the beginning of the game, the great performance by Johan Santana and what we thought was a near no-hitter, I mean, it's incredible how irrelevant that actually became.
Wow. It's crazy, crazy, crazy. But, I mean, they could have been no-hit for 15 innings and still won the game.
Well, that would have been something, a no hitter through 15 innings. I wonder if their starter would have still been going there. I doubt it. That would have been. See, that's when Joe Girardi has. If that happened, Joe Girardi, if his pitcher's pitching a no hitter through 15, you could pull him in the 15th inning when he's approaching 176 pitches. But in the 7th inning, you don't pull your pitcher when he's pitching a no hitter ever. But go figure.
Pretty random number, Mark.
Well, I can't give you an exact estimate. I've never seen a pitcher go 15 innings before, so I don't know how many pitches that would be.
Changing the topic a little bit, what do you guys think about the NHL playoffs? Who's gonna win the Stanley Cup this year?
Well, here's my theory on the NHL playoffs, and it's this. The Flyers and the Penguins need to leave immediately, so that way all the Pennsylvania fans around here stop. And then the Devils need to lose, so that way my roommate stops. And then after that, we'll see what happens. But the Penguins certainly have the ability to make a run. The Philadelphia Flyers played really well against the Devils in the regular season, So the Flyers have a good chance to advance also. I mean, there's a lot of good teams. Is this finally the year for San Jose? San Jose always has a great regular season and then does nothing in the playoffs. It makes no sense to me. I don't get it. But, you know, I guess the Penguins, in my mind, are certainly a favorite to go pretty damn far, if not win the whole thing. What do you think, Alan?
I predict Washington to win it all before this season started. Yeah, I really think it's Alexander Ovechkin's time. Of course, last year, seeing his counterpart, Sidney Crosby, win the championship, he is getting ready to win one of his own to try to help this league. I think the NHL would want either the Penguins or the Washington to make it to the finals and take on Chicago for better ratings.
Yeah, certainly right. I mean, then again, if a team like the Red Wings or Avalanche make it all the way there, that'll certainly boost ratings too. Because, I don't know, I just feel like hockey fans in general just like seeing the classic teams like that play.
Mm-hmm.
But,
and currently the Red Wings are in bad shape. They just lost 4-2 to Phoenix. They now trail 2-1 in the series.
Can you believe Phoenix? Phoenix is really shocking. I mean, they had the whole problem where they, you know, they were bankrupt and whatever their entire issue was. And, I mean, the Phoenix Coyotes have really proven themselves to the entire NHL.
Yeah, really good.
If Phoenix were to somehow win the Stanley Cup, I think that's a pretty good story on their part, just because the organization was just in shambles. And for them to, I mean, I don't think they'll win the Stanley Cup, but if they did it, I think that's a good story.
I think even if Phoenix goes deep into this playoffs, I think it's going to help them with their attendance and their revenue next season.
The sad thing is, though, about it is even though it would be a great story, I feel like it's a great story that not that many people would know about. You know?
Well, yeah, well, of course, the NHL, the publicity is getting a little bit better. This year was a good year, I think, for hockey, because I think a lot of people tuned into the Olympics, and there's a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of people out there that don't like hockey, but they watch Olympic hockey and they watch playoff hockey. And after watching the Olympic hockey, and I think with all the great playoff series that are there, it should hopefully help hockey significantly. You know, you want to hope for some really good playoff games, some really good playoff matchups, because people who are not devoted hockey fans loved what they saw in this year's Olympics. And hopefully after the Olympics, I don't know how the ratings were before and after the Olympics, but it's very possible that the Olympics helped the ratings of the NHL after that. And if the playoffs are really well, I mean, people watching the playoffs and the Olympics, that should be really, really good for them.
Well, right after the Olympics, Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, actually said that he promised all the owners in the NHL to get a bigger TV contract. Of course, we all hope that the NHL goes back to ESPN so they could get better publicity. But even that, before that happens, they have to be stuck with NBC and with Versus. I think that still kind of hurts them in a way in terms of publicity and marketing. But I really hope that he actually does get that big contract with, like, ESPN or another big TV network.
Yeah, and even if he doesn't do that, I mean, maybe if he can, I mean, work out some sort of, you know, prime time on NBC. You know, all the NBC games are at 12 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon. If they could somehow be arranged to get, you know, like a Sunday night hockey, like they have Sunday night football, I mean, I think that would help significantly, too, even if you have to stick with NBC. I mean, a 12 o'clock game or 3 o'clock game is not as good, in my opinion, as prime time. Of course, you know, there's Sunday night football and Sunday night baseball. Why not Sunday night hockey?
Exactly. They only do that in CBC and TSN in Canada, but I think they should definitely do that here in America. That's an excellent point.
Yeah. Actually, I don't know. I kind of disagree with that. I think that a midweek late-night game is better for watching TV. Like, maybe for going to the game, it would be better to be a weekend or night. But, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but on a Saturday night or whatever, I don't want to be in watching TV. I'd rather be out.
Well, it's not Saturday night. It's Sunday night. Sunday night.
Oh.
Just like baseball and football.
Okay,
I mean, Sunday
yeah.
night baseball and Sunday night football do very well. There's no reason why they can't do Sunday night hockey.
What's the difference between a Sunday night and a Tuesday night, though?
Well, there's no Tuesday night hockey on NBC. I mean, NBC has all those games are on Sunday.
And, yeah, that's true.
I mean, if you're going to keep the game on Sunday, I mean, you're not going to have Tuesday night hockey. What kind of a promotion is that? I mean, I guess they're the same thing, but, you know, Tuesday nights on NBC, it's just, I don't know, it's bizarre. And on NBC, and during the week, these networks have their own slew of primetime programming anyway. I don't know what's on NBC.
You got to understand, though, that I guarantee that more people want to watch Desperate Housewives, unfortunately, than the NHL. So that's why they don't have Sunday night hockey.
I didn't even know Desperate Housewives was Sunday night, but thank you. roommate just asked why you knew that, but yeah.
That's my girlfriend, and she watches it, okay?
Right, yeah. I didn't know that, but maybe they could switch something up where they could put the NHL on over Desperate Housewives or before it or after it or something. But, yeah, I think they could certainly try it out, try and come to some agreement. I'm sure they could do it.
I don't know, Mark. All right. Quick predictions on the NBA playoffs now.
I'm hoping that LeBron can finally win a championship, and I don't know what that would mean for the offseason in terms of the Knicks, but it would be nice to see LeBron win it all, but I don't think he will. Who do I think will win it all? I don't really know. I haven't really followed the NBA closely enough, but I think there's some pretty good series. I think the Utah series is a pretty good series. It's going to be exciting. I don't know, but I'm kind of rooting for LeBron. What do you think, Evan?
I'm really rooting for Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, if Kevin Durant can carry them through, that would just make my life. It would be awesome to watch him go up against Kobe, beat Kobe, and make a run in the playoffs. And, you know, it would kind of make me wonder how amazing the Texas Longhorns basketball team would be if he just stayed in school. I think I'd be a junior or senior. He could still be playing. And if Durant could take them to an NBA championship, then he could certainly take the Longhorns to a national championship. So,
Alan?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I want to see the Lakers take on the Cavaliers, and I think the Lakers will win the championship because even though they didn't have the best regular season as they did last year, but once the playoff time comes, their players really step it up. So I want to see the Lakers take on the Cavaliers, two of the best players, LeBron and Kobe, going against each other. I think that's going to be a great series.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, who would not want to see Kobe versus LeBron? I mean, it's just one of the premier matchups in the NBA. I mean, you constantly talk about them being 1 and 2 in terms of the best players in the NBA. But Evan brings up a good point, too. A lot of people like watching Kevin Durant, so it'll be interesting to see what he can do. But we shall see. But unfortunately, we have run out of time for this week. But we promise that we will be back next week, same time, same place, same great show. This is Sports Heaven with Mark and Evan on Blog Talk Radio. Once again, I am Mark Elliott.
And I'm Evan Banda.
And I'm Alan Moy. See you next week.
Where it began, I can't begin to know it, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. the night, and it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my